You could have heard this episode 48 hours early on our Patreon, patreon.com/indieheadspodcast. But join us for as low as $1 a month. You'll receive episodes early and gain access to our Discord server. All of our upcoming episodes will be up on our Patreon 48 hours before it hits our public podcast feeds. But if you're hearing this via our Patreon feed, we thank you so much for your support. We especially want to thank our Real Ones patrons, including Beck Etienne, Georgia Mikowski, James Boss, Alday Kirk, Marcy Anime, Chance Holdup, Delaney Mothman, Josiah Duncan, Jenna, Matt Cameron, Grant in the Back of My Dragula, Pablo Escobar's Hippos, Jackson Chris, Jeremy Bull, Last Man on Earth 01, Andrew Grieve, JP, Matthew Taylor, Breen Hare, Drew Wharton, I Like Books, Sarah Moore, Max Kapuzinski, Mark Barry, Cal 50, Mommy I Went Poo Poo Again, Chris Wade, Midwest Maxwell, Kevin John, Jake Wald, Grant, Keep Autism Weird, Rob Marino, Max, Dylan, Zach, Gavin490Freak, and Maze Farms. To become a Real One, consider supporting us for $5 a month on Patreon and receive a bonus episode every month and get a shout out at the top of the pod. Anyways, though, enjoy the episode. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to a very spooky edition of the Indie Heads podcast. It's me, your host, Maddie Monroe. I'm here with Grant, with Jackie, with AJ, and it's a Halloween special we're doing today. As this episode is coming out on, let me just make sure I have it correct on the schedule. This is going to be coming out on Sunday for Patreon supporters, but comes out on Halloween Day. On Tuesday for everybody else. So we got a Halloween playlist. Grant, of course, this episode is very happy because, again, Grant gets to talk about his favorite thing, which is Halloween. But it's very sad because Grant does not get to celebrate Halloween like he usually would because Grant has COVID.
I think I have COVID.
I think we'll get there.
We'll
get to having COVID a bit later on in this episode. Not that kind of COVID.
Yeah, I didn't beat the COVID allegations. I'm sorry, everyone.
But is this your first time getting it or
ever?
Damn.
Yeah.
It's always strange seeing like how long some people last. Like I think like Elizabeth. Like my friend Elizabeth, like she went over 3 years without getting it until like very recently, and I don't even think she like ever tested positive. It was just like, yeah, this is probably what it is.
I made it all the way until Pitchfork Music Festival this year.
Oh, did you get it this year?
Yeah, you can.
Damn, I didn't realize.
There's video evidence of Maddie and I having COVID on camera on this very podcast feed.
Well, I don't think I got it at Pitchfork. I think I got it like a week after. I think because I got it from the airport.
I was fine
the days after, but I think I must have gotten it like because I went back home after Pitchfork and then went to go. I probably got it at the Death Grips show. If I it's either Death Grips or the airport, and I think it's funnier to say I got it at the Death
COVID's
show.
Probably the safest thing you can catch at a Death Grips show these days.
Yeah, I'd rather have COVID than see someone piss their pants.
Yeah.
Or throw glow sticks at the artist, but we're not talking about that. We're not talking about new music. What do you think this fucking podcast is? We're talking about new music and current events? Fuck that. We're talking about Boris Karloff singing the Monster Mash.
Yeah,
you fuckers.
Shindig 1965.
I did a post about this, but like, it's really funny that there's like a new good Sufjan Stevens album and we aren't like dropping everything to cover it, but instead like we've come a long way as a podcast. And I also wanted to be on this podcast because this episode is basically the Maddie's Hollywood welcome, but instead of movie stars songs, it's spooky star songs.
Yes.
Oh yeah, did we give away the premise of this episode?
We've been rambling.
Okay, music by Spookies. It's all music by legends of horror.
So-called legends. Most of these people are legends.
They're all legends to me.
Yeah, put some respect on every single one. Okay.
Everyone that's ever been.
Are we going to put respect on first Jason?
Okay, most of these people are horror legends.
But this person is a certified legend. One of the all-time horror greats. I wouldn't say a scream king because that's a different kind of genre of horror movie men, but this is one of the OG monsters,
monster icon,
the king Frankenstein's monster himself, Boris Karloff. And this is a video or a song of him singing the Monster Mash and the Lurch from the Shindig 1965 Halloween episode. And this is, yeah, this one's crazy. This is important, important archival work.
Y'all ever lurch? Here.
Yeah, the Lurch, you're going to have, once we get to the Lurch, you're gonna have to explain what the Lurch is to me, Grant, because of course the Monster Mash. We know the Monster Mash, we love it to death, and Boris Karloff singing it is very appropriate, because, Boris Pickett was doing his impression of Boris Karloff singing that song.
Yeah, it's a perfect perfect circle, you know?
Yeah.
I would like to say that this was considered lost media until very, very recently. Like, I think this year or last year. And it's been missing for 50 years or so. People have been looking for this. And someone found it and immediately slapped the ugliest fucking You're the Man Now dog ass watermark over the entire video. And now it's the only version of it that exists.
Yeah, that it's fucked. Because I was wondering, I'm like, why the fuck is this... YCDTI exclamation points. Like, why the fuck is this here? I was gonna say, first off, the Wolfman is talking like Dracula. He's the Wolfman. He's not Dracula. He's not a vampire. He's a werewolf.
He can be a Czechoslovakian werewolf.
That's true.
Like, vampires are... Well, Transylvanian, that's true,
but Lon Chaney Jr. never spoke with that kind of accent, you know?
Well, yeah, but
that's true.
Come
on. Larry Talbot wasn't Czechoslovakian, you know?
Wolfman be Russian, vaguely.
Yeah, okay.
You know, Wolfman can come from all sorts of backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
These days, with the way this liberal pussy shit is going, it's more like Beagle Man.
This is incredibly off topic, but did you guys see that right wing political commenter guy that can't stop posting about women with 9-inch penises as like a rhetorical he's like, we're supposed to believe this from the people that say that we're supposed to, he just can't stop bringing it up. It's so funny. Freud never stops winning. He's undefeated.
Freud never stops winning.
What monster would you want to get sucked off by in the bathroom?
Ooh, yeah. Probably the Bride of Frankenstein, if I'm not going to lie.
I feel like that's a coward's gambit right there, Maddie.
Oh, yeah.
Be a little more adventurous.
Okay.
And his son.
It is really funny how much the monster fuck has, like, ruined my ability to take this song at its original setting.
I wonder what Bobby Boris Pickett would think of that one.
Okay, the Lurch. Okay, so now we're onto the Lurch, and we have this guy Ted Cassidy.
Adam's
Family.
Yeah, okay.
This was a real song that was a hit in the 60s. They released it as a promo for The Addams Family because when The Addams Family first started airing, they would just get a shit ton of fan mail from like teenage girls that said Lurch was hot. So I think it was like the first like, okay, hear me out character. So they gave him a song. And I'm not joking. You can look that up.
Which, here's the thing. It's important to know that fact because... Like, stan culture is not, like, it's not, that's not an artifact of the internet.
Yeah,
like,
Lurch would have been a Tumblr
been
sexy
like
man back in the day.
Yeah, he would be like, the Lurch, and then he'd be like that emoji that's like the drop sweating and the tongue out. Like,
oh my god, yeah.
the girls who love the Lurch, they're posting in their diary saying, can I say something without y'all getting mad at me?
I mean... What is Pete Davidson if not the Lurch?
he's like a twink Lurch.
Oh my god!
Another fun fact about him is that his voice is so deep. The character's original name was the Jake Holverse.
Oh, boo!
Jesus Christ!
Shut the fuck up! Shut up!
Who's this guy out front? I like him.
Yeah, looks like Igor,
yeah.
I think.
Crazy eyes. Yeah, okay.
Can we talk about the fact that every fucking Igor that isn't in the fucking Universal Monsters, they make him like Peter Lorre, even though he never played Igor? That's fucked.
Yeah.
Everyone was just so mean to Peter Lorre.
And this is before Young Frankenstein, where I think like that's maybe where the idea of like what Igor looks like comes from.
Yeah.
So
there's been like a sort of downward trajectory of the Igors over time, where it's like, you know, the kind of original was, you know, a sort of fucked up looking dude, but now they're just like, imagine Igor, the sloppiest, lamest, most ugly piece of shit you could ever meet.
Yeah,
in
they
your
make him a nasty
life.
Little pervert.
They make him a nasty little freak.
He's like the Ron Jeremy of monsters.
Now he's Tyler the Creator. It's like what's happened to society.
He's all sexy.
I do gotta say that. The scenes of the Halloween dance party, I want to be there so bad.
This is really fun. I like this video.
When I die, that is my heaven.
Yeah, when you watch the Vincent Price Mask of the Red Death movie, you're like, I would happily die there. This party looks lit AF.
Amen.
That's my main takeaway from that film.
Facts. But yeah, Lost Media, preserve Lost Media. Hopefully this video comes out one day without this stupid fucking water. Like, if you're going to put a watermark, I get it. If you found it, you want to claim it and want to make sure, like, hey, no one's stealing my footage. You can, you know, put it somewhere else and still have it be, like, where you can't, like, crop it out or whatever. This is, like, the fucking Jag Thinda sign during, like, WrestleMania 2014.
Make it fucking semi-transparent.
Yeah, that, again, there's ways to do this where it's not annoying, or just having it pop up every, you know, like every couple, you know, not every couple frames, like, hey, a minute, hey, pop up this little thing. Boom, done.
Yeah.
Easy peasy.
I tried to get a quick answer on Igor and got deep into a blog called The Frankenpod that starts, that's called We Need to Talk About Igor is the headline of the article. And it's long, and it basically is like, Igor is not in the book. Also, the original 1931 Frankenstein film, Igor, is called Fritz. So it is Young Frankenstein. I think Young Frankenstein is not the first Igor, but I think
Son of Frankenstein is the first one that had Igor in it.
Yes, that's what it says here. And then Young Frankenstein is basically what defines Igor as the way that he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, the thing is that, you know, again, we're probably
this is 1965. Young Frankenstein doesn't come out until 1974. So clearly that's riffing on something in the culture, basically.
Yeah. I think it's what you said, Grant, like Peter Lorre. Like, people are just like confusing whatever character he played in these Universal Monster movies.
It's just a game of telephone, right? Like the thing exists, and then the parody, the exaggerated parody of the thing exists, and then that becomes the cultural representation of it, and then people do take exaggerated takes on that, and then it becomes, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
America had Igor fever. What can you say?
I also for Igor. In the Lurch stuff, I just love that, like, in every era of American music, at some point in the genre's development, you have to tell people to do a dance that's called their name, as we discussed on the dance instructional songs episode.
Amen
throughout time, we have given dance moves names and said, you gotta do the blank.
Mm-hmm. But AJ, you did mention Vincent Price earlier, that leads us to our next song, which is Vincent Price singing I've Got a Rainbow Working for Me.
Yeah.
From 1970.
There are like three categories of videos in this episode. There's like stuff that like makes sense completely, and then some stuff is like, okay, this is maybe not what I thought of Halloween wise, but this makes sense with the person, I guess. And then there's like, what the fuck is going on here? And this is the third one for me. I don't understand what this is at all.
Is he meant to be Van Gogh here?
I don't fucking know.
So this is he is singing the song I've Got a Rainbow from I've Got a Rainbow for Me from the Broadway musical Darling of the Day.
I was like, what it's a public access fucking Mr. Rogers Neighborhood shit is this?
It's so awesome this was TV like 50 years ago. Now we have fucking hot ones where it's like, eat the hot wings and promote your healthcare brand or whatever, but there were like 9,000 shows on every day that were just like, I don't know, people are going to come get in fucking costumes and sing show tunes.
Yeah. So this was, because he was in the Broadway show entitled Darling of the Day, where he was the main character, Prime Farl. This is him essentially doing like a Tony Awards kind of performance of like, hey, here's one of my highlight songs from this musical, you know? But why is this like 2 years after the musical, presumably wrapped? Because I don't know how long the musical went on for, but it seemed like it only went on during the 1968 season and didn't come back until 2005 with like a revival in like Illinois.
Yeah, you guys are going way into the song more than I thought you would. I just brought Vincent Price up because I love him.
He's one of the icons. He's one of the most iconic horror figures of all time.
Have any of y'all ever read Vincent Price's daughter's book? I'm assuming it's Snow.
No.
It's so good. She talks about how when she came
out... Oh, hell no, he's smearing shit on the walls.
Yeah, Vincent Price, original tub girl.
God, shut the fuck up.
In Vincent Price's daughter's book, she talks about when she came out to him as a lesbian, and he immediately accepted her and started telling her old Hollywood stories about how he used to bring men home to fuck like animals and stuff. Vincent Price is a beast.
So Vincent Price confirmed bi,
yeah,
or is it just like
icon.
Yeah?
Hell yeah! Literally anyone, if they were in a movie from the times of like 1920 to like 19, like that, there's an era in there where every all those dudes were banging. Like
yeah,
just,
it's all yeah. Star Wars dropped. You weren't allowed to be hetero in the fucking movie industry.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Behind the scenes, like you had to be hetero in, you know, presenting, but you know, behind the scenes,
yeah, like
they act like
Hollywood is woke propaganda now, but you legally had to be bi to work in Hollywood in 1932.
They were songing and bonking, and it was in their contract.
Anyway,
there we go. Vincent Price was the guy waiting for me. Yeah, the guy being is this the guy from fucking Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory?
I think that's just what all British people look like.
I was gonna say he looks like.
I did consider that also.
Peter Cullen, the Star Wars guy.
He came out of the fucking Bethesda character creator.
He also looks like those "Have You Dreamt This Man" pictures.
Oh God, yeah.
Anyways, visual stuff on an audio medium, you love it, folks. That's why you come to this podcast.
But yeah, Vincent Price, bi icon, again, one of the greats in horror movie history. Again, just a man who's, again, just this tall, lanky ass, scary fucking man. I also got to highlight, it's been a while since I've mentioned SNL on the show, but Bill Hader's Vincent Price impression is very, very good. Mm-hmm. Some of the best SNL stuff is the public access Vincent Price show sketches that he would do. Which, Bill Hader. We love Bill Hader.
We love Bill.
We love Bill.
I also would like to note that as I was reading the Vincent Price Wikipedia page, I found out that Deep Purple were friends with Vincent Price. And in 2013, Deep Purple, who I worked a show, a Deep Purple show at the Wiltern. They're like still touring. Deep Purple released a single called Vincent Price that the band members dedicated to him. Which I believe is
That fucking rocks.
I also think that's funny though, because that's like a full 20 years after his death. So like they were just friends with him, and then 20 years later, we're like, we're doing a tribute song.
Yeah. Wait, he did a version of the Monster Mash?
Mesh from my laboratory in the castle.
Oh my god.
I feel like if you needed horror stuff at this period of time, you can't not do a Monster Mash, right?
Of course.
Like,
this is true.
Everyone had to do it, and it was like voting.
Yeah.
If Bela Lugosi didn't die before it dropped, you know he would have been doing one.
Yeah, this is like a psychedelic version of the Monster Mash.
Sounds the same, Matt. It does not sound that different.
It's a little slower.
The keyboards are a little different.
Yeah, the keyboards and the tempo is a little change. You know, it feels very, you know, more 70s.
Slower,
you know?
Tempo.
Where you say slower tempo? Did you
And then I had to cough because I have COVID.
Because you have COVID, of course.
And I lost the thought. Anyways, let's talk about Rose's number one
enemy. Nick Wagner should hop in the studio together. RT, if you agree.
Oh god. Okay, this one. Okay, this next one. Holy fucking shit! This next one.
I can already tell this is going to be my favorite.
So this is the Crypt Keeper from Tales of the Crypt. With their track, The Crypt Jam, Tales from the Crypt.
Their track? Is The Crypt Keeper non-binary?
I'm sorry. Oh,
I don't want to assume the gender
of the... Maddie, pause real quick. This is very important. I was reading further the Wikipedia page of Vincent Price to confirm, and when it mentions his intimate relationships with men, it links to the Wikipedia page for bisexuality. I just think that's really
wait,
scroll down
hang
to the
on.
End of the personal life section of Vincent Price Wikipedia page and click on the intimate relationships with men hyperlink, and it will take you directly to the Wikipedia page for bisexuality.
Let's
invented by Vincent Price.
No, oh my god, what's
Maddie, the intimate relationships with men, Maddie, right there.
Oh, here we go.
That
just takes you to the bisexuality.
Like, in case you'd like to learn more about Vincent Price sucking and fucking men, here's the Wikipedia page for bisexuality. Anyways, the Crypt Keeper, the Crypt Gem. That was very, so that was very important that we covered that.
Yeah, necessary. So we're going from a bi icon to a non-binary icon with the Crypt Keeper. Because I don't want to assume the Crypt Keeper's gender. No, I don't
so
know what they're packing.
I listened to this playlist today and also do not have the technical abilities to do this as quickly as I would have liked to. But if I had been given like 3 or 4 weeks and I'm going to do this, I want to make like a Philly club dance edit of this song. It's very good.
Oh, let's fucking go.
I like this a lot.
Yeah, this is
I will literally play this unedited in my DJ set this weekend, maybe.
This is a new Crypt Swing song. That is the Crypt version of New Jack Swing.
Yeah, this is like maybe a little racist. I don't know. I don't wanna say, but like it is very like, oh, the kids love rap music, let's do, but like that could have been very, it could have been very like that one YouTube video that's like the preachers rapping or whatever, but it's actually like they committed so fucking hard to this bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is one of the best videos I have ever seen in my life.
Is the Crypt Keeper allowed to say the Crypt Keeper
is spitting. I must say it. He's got bars. Also, I love all the cuts between the gore of the Crypt Keeper episodes and then like ladies' waistlines. It's so great.
bisexual lighting behind the Crypt Keeper.
Also, they're
as well.
in the Zion rave from the Matrix set, but like with lower ceilings.
Oh, here we go. All right, we gotta listen. Is he saying Psycho?
I think so.
Because you've got ladies midriff, you got zombies breaking down.
Yeah, I really love... Wait, hold on. The funky breakdown.
Yeah.
They didn't need to put this much effort in.
I know.
They could have just had him sing like the Monster Mash or something.
I also really like that it's like, you would think that like it would be like people dressed up as like sexy skeletons, but it's like it's like the Crypt Keeper with like regular human women. Yeah. They're just dressed up like they're going out to the club. Like it's like, oh, we all think the Crypt Keeper is sexy. It's so funny.
Yeah.
Every part of it is great.
The Crypt Keeper does in fact fuck. This is my favorite brand of 90s novelty rap music where they're just explaining how hip hop works to you for most of the song.
Yeah. This is essentially like the horror edition of the Joe Pesci rap song.
Oh, 100%.
Pretty much.
Yeah, very similar. Although there's something about the difference is that like this person is just someone who's a very good voice actor who just committed to this bit super hard. There's something uncanny about the way Joe Pesci is like half stuttering and like half like mumbling all the words to that song that makes it like 1 million times more menacing and makes you believe that he will actually murder you, but that's also the song's text as well. Love to see that RXK nephew Tory Lanez song showing up in the suggested videos where
yes.
how you sit up and stand up and you're the same height or whatever he says.
Oh god, this should
this shit looks lit in the crypt.
I'm always saying this.
I love how every YouTube comment is either the nostalgic, like, ah, oh, what a simpler time, or just like, damn, this looks crazy.
Man, this sounds way better than anything today.
Amen.
Which, I making some points.
This is the one and only time that's been true.
Somebody says it sounds like Prince, which is one of the most racist things I've ever read.
It doesn't sound that different from like the Bat Dance. I don't think I
guess, Maddie, but just don't walk, onto the plank. Don't do it. You don't need to.
I again, it's Halloween, and you know, the devil is a very devilish figure on Halloween, and you know, sometimes you gotta play his advocate. I think I understand where they're coming from. If that's the reference point, but even then, that's like,
I don't think that's there's the so many. Point. I think they meant that it sounds black is what they meant by that.
Okay, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. I just want to see the, you know, look on this Halloween, this Hallows Eve.
Is
you know,
the
I want to see the good
racist, the greatest thread in the history of man locked after 14,000 pages of heated debate.
We technically don't know what he looked like when he was alive, so.
This is true.
But let's keep it moving. I have an announcement to make, everybody.
I think I might have the same one.
I think I have COVID.
I think I have COVID.
Our next song is Elvira with Two Big Pumpkins.
Oh, man. I love pumpkins. One of my favorite parts of Halloween. I can't wait to hear a song of just about pumpkins. And it's a little pumpkin.
Short into the song, she gives up the bit.
I mean, that's the whole thing with Elvira. It's just that's, she's never been subtle about her two big pumpkins, you know. And this is released by Third Man Records, which I think is awesome. Shout out to Jack White.
Yeah, Jack White saw this and was like, I gotta have a piece of that.
Spoiler alert: star of Killers of the Flower Moon, Jack White.
Yeah, and this was written by Fred Schneider of the B-52s.
Which that's that awesome. Rocks. Mm-hmm. Again, one that Elvira was game for, and two, like, of course, Fred Schneider wrote this shit, you know.
Another bicon, Elvira.
This is true. This is true.
Maddie, I didn't really get what the kind of twist with the bit that you were talking about is. What's going on here? Can you explain it to me? Just singing a song about everyone's favorite orange gourd from the autumnal season.
Well, in the words of who you know, I'm obsessed with your big boobies, which was who wrote that song?
The Chemical Clowns.
It is suggesting that this music video that literally starts in with a slow zoom into her cleavage is definitely not about boobs.
Yeah. Again, let the Chemical Clowns. I'm obsessed with your big boobies, and that's. You know, let that guide you to what this song is about, you know?
Look, a wise man once said, you want big nipples, you want big boobs, you want to see the titties, you want to see the boobs.
I also think it's something about the amateurish singing that is making me think, like, rockabilly Zooey Deschanel. Like, this is like...
Jesus Christ. Jackie, I've never heard a more evil sentence in my life.
You know what I mean, though, right? Like...
You're not wrong.
Psychobilly, she and him.
I like to imagine Third Man Records pitch meeting or, you know, business call where everyone's like, there's this like Elvira song about pumpkins, but it's kind of like an innuendo, and Jack White is just like, $1 billion, whatever it takes, we gotta have it. I need it, I want it.
I think I have COVID.
I think I have COVID.
If I'm going to attempt to speak a horny thought, I will just say I think I have COVID.
That's from 2014.
2014.
That's crazy.
That's the thing. I mean, Elvira will continue to cash in on these sorts of things. You know, like she understands the game she's in as like, you know, the horror movie icon. She'll show up to the conferences and she'll do the thing. You know.
Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, she, you know, she was 63, 62 when this came out.
Yeah.
They're looking great. the two big pumpkins, they're there's looking great, Queen. Pumpkins.
I'd love to carve those up if you get what I'm saying.
What? No,
AJ Moser has COVID. AJ Moser has COVID. I think AJ Moser has COVID.
I'd like to pop the tops off and pull all the seeds out from inside.
What? You're making it worse, AJ.
I'd like to get in there with a scalpel tool and put some funny faces on those puppies.
By the way, if you're ever interested in reading the Wikipedia page to Elvira, her early career section is basically like the plot of Showgirls. Like, she literally shows up to Vegas as like a 17-year-old and is like, let me be on a show. So shout out to Elvira. Now is the time. I have a special present for my co-host. So I have been trying to figure out how to get this song and by extension this music video into the podcast for a while. And at first I thought I would like try to wedge it into the Eurodance episode or perhaps come up with a topic around it, but I just couldn't, except that it does, like 3 minutes into the song, have a Halloween-ish reference to it, which we'll get to. But the reason why I've thought about showing this video many times is because this is a Steam... Maddie, check the Zoom chat. This is a Steam video level video, and I would just love to get... I think it's important that we just like clear the air real quickly and denounce the awful sexual behavior of that last video. I think we need to remove the horny vibes from there and remind people that sex is not okay. And so let's listen to a song that I have played at more than one Halloween party, Latour's People Are Still Having Sex.
Oh.
Crazy beat. I love this.
I know every word of the song, unfortunately.
Oh my god.
All the sperms. Oh my god. I feel like I'm already going to have a seizure watching this.
We haven't even gotten to the 3D animation yet.
I'm expecting wrapping over this.
Oh my god. Not subtle. The 3D animation is of the female and the male like side.
Just trust me. Don't worry. You don't need to make that comment yet.
Have you noticed that people are still having sex? All the announcement had absolutely no effect. Parents and counselors constantly scorned them. Are still having sex and nothing seems to stop them.
I love this new Yard Act song.
This is analog horror.
What's that?
That's Linda from Evil Dead 2.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
This groove is nice, though. I love this little synth groove.
So there's a big computer graphics ring on the screen. What could that be indicating?
Future plans to engage in the activity. Do you understand me? People are still having
sex. Jackie, this is going directly onto my Halloween playlist.
Yeah. This goes hard.
The non-censored version says this AIDS thing's not working, and it implies that AIDS is a conspiracy to stop people from fucking.
Like I said, RXK Nephew song. It's a countdown.
We're almost to the very brief, like, actually Halloween part of the song. You'll see what I mean.
This is like the yang to White Zombie's yin.
Exactly. 100%. This is gay White Zombie.
It's a fact that people are still having sex. It's rather obvious. It's just what one expects. Evidence is all around that everyone in every town has had it one time or another in their life. At this very moment, people are still having sex in a downtown condo or street in the projects. Although you can't see them or hear their breathing sounds, someone in this world is having sex right now.
Yep.
Amen.
All right. Or just paying attention, because there's so much to learn from this song.
There's a lot. Also, there's so much going on visually. Please watch this at home if you haven't pulled it up. I can't
this
recommend it.
This is insane.
Oh my god!
They just want. Oh no! Oh,
Jesus Christ!
Oh,
they're like,
oh, there's the Halloween thing.
Run that
yes.
back.
Now you understand how I could make it. Okay, that's all I needed to show you. Although we can finish the rest of the video. It's great. Great stuff.
Yeah, this piano part. Ooh.
This is like the end of the fourth Evangelion rebuild movie where they're just throwing shit on the screen.
Exactly.
This is exactly what's happening here.
I love this group. I heard this. I was introduced to this song by a Jamie XX DJ set that I saw, and I was like, "Oh, I have to have that." I Shazammed it, and I've been playing it ever since. It's great.
Jackie, this is the nicest Halloween gift I've ever gotten. Thank you.
This.
I feel like Will Toledo could do a really great cover of this.
James Murphy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like this is losing my edge. This is losing my edge, but that's a different kind of edge.
Exactly.
You know. Losing my edging, more like.
Yeah, this is lost my damn edge.
I'm convinced that this is the same graphic designer who went on to make the Steam music video, and I will not be looking into that.
This is 91. It's like around the same time.
Yeah.
So
if you played that for Joe Biden today, it would kill him on the spot. No questions asked.
People are still having what, Jack?
on the screen there.
Elvira, what she got? Let's move on to our next song, which I had no idea this next one existed, Grant, and I'm so happy.
You really?
That this is. I mean, I have, of course, this next one comes from the Coup des Villes, which is John Carpenter's band. I guess did he just make this band for just the soundtrack? Or
no,
was
this
just
is
like,
a band. He's had this band for a long time. They started in the 70s. This is actually why I chose this instead of any of John Carpenter's orchestral stuff. This is a Music by Spooky's fucking super group right here. It is John Carpenter. It is Tommy Lee Wallace, the director of Halloween 3 Season of the Witch, and Nick Castle, Michael Myers himself.
Okay. Fuck yes.
And that's the Coup des Villes.
Yeah, so let's listen to the Coup des Villes, Big Trouble in Little China. For some reason, it's still showing it as Elvira, Two Big Pumpkins.
Can't forget.
Thanks, YouTube.
Obsessed with those Two Big Pumpkins.
Oh, there we go. Okay, now it's popping up as the proper version. Oh,
it was just funny. I was like watching the video. I was like, wow, this is really technically well done. And then I remember, like, it's John Carpenter's band, you idiot. Like, of course, it's a good music video.
Yeah.
This looks like straight out of the MTV days before the MTV craze playlist.
Facts. Like this is incredible.
You know, like when you make a presentation in iMovie and you're like, I'm gonna use every single one of these fucking transitions. That's what this video is. It's just every single effect they could do, they do it, but it also works.
I'm trying to get a better look, but I think John Carpenter has the coolest pair of pants on right now.
I just love that, like, obviously everyone talks about, it's like a meme at this point. He's just like, I want to smoke weed and play video games and watch basketball.
Yeah, please stop interviewing John Carpenter. Just
but here's
him...
the thing. Here's the thing I love, though. It's like, he's the only director who doesn't think it's cool to be a movie director. He's like, I don't fucking care. I just, like, I literally want to just hang out. And you're not letting me just hang out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love John so much.
He agrees to do those interviews, though. Like,
yeah.
At some level, he loves when someone asks him. There was a clip today from the regular show that someone posted. It's like John Carpenter in any interview, and it's this guy getting out of a car saying, "What was that I heard about basketball?"
All these interviewers are just coming in with the wrong questions. They're like, you know, what's your favorite movie that you've made? Have you watched any good horror recently? And they need to be asking him things like, was Griffball in Halo 3 the best multiplayer mode of all time?
Hell yeah.
I mean, the actual best question anyone's gotten out of him in a long time is that he talked about how much he loves Dead Space and how he wants to make a Dead Space movie, and like, write the check.
Write the goddamn check.
Once again, why is this not happening?
But at the same time, it seems like John Carpenter, he just doesn't really want to direct movies anymore. Like, he's perfectly content to, like...
There's a budget level you could make that movie at where he doesn't have to get out of bed until, like, you know what I mean? Like,
that's true, yeah. That's true.
If studios just like gave him the blank check.
He did that, like, Peacock show that just came out.
He literally directed from his house.
Yeah,
he literally figured out a way that he could do it from his couch. A fucking king. I love that man.
Before the show was even out, he was like, nobody watched it. They didn't get it. Fucking idiots. And I'm like, John, the show isn't out yet. Nobody's seen it.
Yeah.
Hey, I have a message for John Carpenter. Come into the Indie Heads Podcast Discord and wish me happy birthday, and I'll give you a $20 Steam gift card, please. Please.
I love John Carpenter.
I mean, he's not trying to make movies anymore, but all of his instrumental music that he's still putting out is, like, genuinely incredible.
All of those Lost Themes
albums were tremendous.
Oh, yeah, I have all of them. They're, like, my go-to.
I mean, the best part of the new Halloween sequels is him doing, like, all the music for them. Like, 100%. That's
and
like
Corey.
the one good, and Corey, of course. That's like
Corey.
One of the good things you can say is like, the music, like, the music
Corey
fucking slams.
Has Corey ever made any music?
Yeah,
you
has
know
Corey
that?
Made any music? Let's do a quick Corey investigation.
Oh, by the way, while we're once again, my role this episode is to circle back around with things I should have known before from the Wikipedia pages of each song. But the Hello Lover sample in the People Are Still Having Sex song is from Evil Dead 2. I wasn't
Hell
sure
yeah,
that,
that's
so
right.
Yeah.
So, counts.
Let's see. All right. Campbell Rowan. Oh, isn't that the person with that has the album?
No, you're thinking of Chappelle Rowan.
I know. I'm working here in my job right
you
now.
You are? Oh.
Yeah, we're working the Chappelle Rowan record, which is why I've been kind of silent about you guys talking shit about her in the chat. It was just like,
hey, listen, the people like her.
Yeah.
Even people I who have good taste beats me. But like... we have Lady Gaga and Katy Perry at home, and it's disrespectful for people to compare her. But anyways,
I can't find any of his music, but I have found dozens of Corey fan cams on TikTok.
Amen.
And I'm gonna save that tab for later.
All right, let's listen to where the playlist really gets weird.
Yeah. So, oh god, I think we've discussed this person before. This is Great Day, who played Michael Myers in the Rob Zombie Halloween movie.
Yes, okay. Child Michael.
Young Michael Myers. Child Michael from the first Rob Zombie Halloween movie.
So I've never seen the Rob Zombie Halloween movies, and even then, immediately, I was like, oh, that guy in this video is the one who played Child Michael Myers.
Yeah.
Like, you can
tell.
He
looks the same.
Although he looks like, I mean, I'm sure this fits with the Rob Zombie Halloween, but it's like, the original Michael Myers kid is like very, like, not innocent, but, you know, just kind of like seems like a perfect kid on the surface or whatever. Mm-hmm. And this guy is, you're like, I'm sure you did look like a serial killer as a child because you kind of look like one now.
I like both of the Rob Zombie Halloween movies, but the first 15 minutes of the first one are some of the hardest to watch cinema I've ever encountered in my entire life.
There are a lot of paths before you if you're famous as a child. You can take the path of the kid who played Anakin Skywalker, whatever his name is.
Jake Lloyd,
of course. There's also the Nevermind Baby. We all know about the Nevermind Baby.
Of course.
Being a SoundCloud rapper is certainly one of those choices.
The Dag Fage.
Oh my God.
Jesus Christ!
What's going on?
Why
does he kind of look like?
He looks like so many dubstep DJs from the Midwest, like just very recognizable.
When did this come out?
This is 2018, January 3rd, 2018.
Yeah.
The Supreme,
like this
fanny
is
pack.
This is definitely recorded in Los Angeles, but these people are from the Midwest. Oh, that's Pasadena.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was Pasadena. Oh, I know where this is. What the fuck?
Which, of course, Halloween, the original Halloween, was famously filmed in Pasadena.
This is true.
A lot of the neighborhoods
every location in the original Halloween, except for one that's in Hollywood, are walking distance from my house.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy is giving... Die Antwood derogatory.
Yeah, this is like definitely like this is a guy you went to high school with.
Oh yeah,
like just that energy. Like you went to high school with a white kid that tried to be a SoundCloud rapper.
Every girl in this video is giving like, I guess I'm cool with this energy. Yeah.
these guys messaged me on Bumble yesterday, being like, "You want to be in a music video?"
By the way, I don't know if you ever talk about this in the podcast. Several times on both like Hinge and Grindr, I have been offered to be in a music video and/or like this one guy that offered me to be in an art project about quote the way the world sees transgender.
Oh, yeah. Oh my god.
Priceless production.
Oh yeah, someone asked me to be in a play once. Anyways, this is my life as someone on dating apps in Los Angeles. Anyways, let's move on to the next song. That was not very good.
Not very good.
Oh god,
I understood 3 or 4 words from that entire song.
Yeah, a junk in my trunk.
Song is like someone that heard Soulja Boy and didn't understand the things that Soulja Boy could.
So just on site, judging from the thumbnail, I think I'm going to really like this.
You may want to notice how many views this video has, AJ.
Yeah, I sure did.
Also, 3 months ago with that artwork, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, this comes from First Jason, who, of course, why is he named First Jason? Was the child actor that played Jason Voorhees in the original Friday the 13th movie. A little fucked up little baby Jason Voorhees. And he's decided, that's just going to be my entire brand now, is that I was Jason Voorhees as a child.
Technically the first Jason.
This is true. Because Jason was never the killer in the first movie.
He spends his free time going to clips from every Friday the 13th movie on YouTube and typing first in the comments.
Yeah, it is. It is very funny. Not even be like trying to use the reputation of your famous role. It's like your name is explaining. I'm the guy from that thing. You know, like it's very. And then why he's choosing to use this as his launch pad for his white reggae project is
called Shot. But I love this song. This is great.
I mentioned in the chat before we recorded this episode, like, this sounds like the really racist Steven Seagal song that went viral a couple weeks ago.
Like, it sounds like a person making reggae music whose only reference is the Jimmy Buffett song that plays at the end of The Beach Bum.
I was like, this is like a song that would play in The Beach Bum where he's driving his car at like 150 miles an hour.
Yes.
This song sounds like it was made by Jack White's character in I Know What You Did Last Summer too. Where he has the white person dreads.
Yes.
Cause in general this song because he's got like Jack White. He sounds very similar to Jack White. So like I was like trying to think like what does this sound like? It sounds like Tenacious D on horse tranquilizers. After he took a shot of like coconut rum, like that's what this song sounds like.
Yes,
I really like it. Can we do just a quick First Jason deep dive? Can we just try and uncover a little bit more? This could be a guy for me.
I mean, this again, he is a guy.
Ari
like,
Lehman, I believe,
has yes. brought has. I don't listen to guys. I should listen to the podcast guys. Has he done like a horror?
Up the first game of
Rohan. Is
that your top suggestion on Google?
First King of Rowan? What was it? What is it from?
Lord of the Rings.
I was not looking this up. I don't know why this is my first suggestion.
Google was trying to put you on some real shit.
I genuinely do not know why that was my first suggestion. Which, here's the thing. First Jason, this is supposed to be a heavy metal band, and he's doing this shit on the side also.
Oh, so crossing genres is bad now.
By the way, this is 100% a Wikipedia article written by Ari Lehman, because it says that he gained acclaim, and then the citation is an Internet Archive link to a Friday the 13th website that is a post about Ari Lehman.
Hell yeah.
Oh, this website is incredible.
Wow.
Oh my god.
Ooh, he has vinyl.
He's got vinyl. Of course, he's collaborated with Ice Nine Kills.
A fucking course.
Of course.
This is so fun. This is so bad.
This is playing so in the background. It's like a COVID brain fog, dude. This is fucking bad.
You can learn so much about a band just when in October 2023 they're like, connect with us on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have listened to almost nothing today except for this song and the new Dive song that you can only listen to on their website. It looks like a COVID denialist GeoCities vlog. And it's put me in an interesting headspace.
Do we think First Jason got the vax?
Oh, definitely not. Of course not.
Which I'm on his Facebook page. First Jason.
He doesn't trust doctors. He only trusts Dr. Rock.
This is true. First Jason rocked JFB Brewery, Wooster, Ohio. Of course he's in fucking Ohio right now.
You can rearrange that acronym and it's assigned Jason at birth.
Oh my, okay.
Can we get the sound check?
Let's see the 13th. Canada campers, it's me, Ari Lehman, the first Jason Voorhees from Friday the 13th. My band, First Jason and I, are headlining the after party of Frightmare in the Falls. That's in Niagara Falls, Canada. The after party is on Saturday.
Headlining an after party in Niagara Falls. Ready to rock.
So make sure you're there. And remember, Jason never dies.
Oh my god.
This guy was literally hired for one day of filming. This guy was hired for one day of filming on the Friday the 13th movie, and he is trying to ride that into the sunset.
He's horror, I mean, lights, again, camera Jackson.
I mean, again, like, this fucking guy, like, it's like Tom Savini made this guy his whole fucking career, essentially. Like, did the iconic Jason makeup, and this guy is just coasting off that for the rest of his life. It's honestly kind of beautiful.
Yeah, the thing is, he doesn't wear a mask that either, he doesn't either wear the Jason mask or wear like makeup to make himself look. So it's like he's just a guy. Like, there's nothing recognizable about him, and he also looks like.
Yeah. He's got like the steampunk facial hair. Like, there's no other way to describe it. He's got steampunk.
He looks like Bounty Hunter's gay cousin. Is what he looks.
Yeah. I love the graphic design work they have to do on their event posters, where it's like the band is called First Jason. We need another paragraph explaining that. Okay, the singer of this band, Ari Lehman, played Jason Voorhees in the first Friday the 13th movie. We also have to play the clip from the movie where he pulls the lady off the canoe.
You know what? As someone who's had to write press releases for artists, where I'm just sort of scrambling for any reference to something relevant that might be like, I get it. You know, you gotta work whatever angles you got. This guy doesn't have a very good angle. It's a thin branch that he's walked out onto.
Yeah, but at the same time, if there's any freaks that like you can appeal to with this bullshit that like are gonna fall for it, it's horror fans. Like, there's a great tweet that I saw the other day. Guy who's watched 100 horror movies. Texas Chainsaw Massacre is an absolute masterpiece. The height of slasher films in realistic textured horror. Guy who's watched 1,000 horror movies. Dude, you gotta hop on Basket Case 3. Yes. Like,
Maddie, I feel like I'm being discriminated against on the podcast right now.
Yeah, they're both right, is the thing.
Yeah. Two things can be true.
I'm the guy who's watched 1,000 horror movies. I love the fucking weird nerdy shit, you know? Like, I appreciate and love that stuff, you know? Like, fucking, You're talking again. I'm not. That's not meant to be a insult against Halloween. I celebrate all horror of all kind, especially the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, bad horror Dr. movies Rock are some of the greatest things in the world.
So here's the one very short paragraph of his Wikipedia page labeled "Music Career." In 2004, Lehman formed his punk metal band, whose name, First Jason, is based upon his role as Jason Voorhees. Self-explanatory. First Jason has independently released two albums, Jason is Watching, 2009, with Chuck Nefarious from Chicago death metal band Macabre and Amit Shamir Cleaver from New York hardcore band Cro-Mags. So, and then Heed My Warning is the 2013 album described by Uber Rock UK as a brand of thinking man's horror-themed rock. In 2019, he performed vocals for the acoustic version of the song Thank God It's Friday from Ice Nine Kills and their album The Silver Scream Final Cut. Ice Nine Kills are Christ. A metal band that have horror-themed lyrics, as you can probably guess. And Lehman has also composed, performed, and recorded a number of soundtracks for independent films, including Alexia Anastasio's critically acclaimed all-female Salome, and Vamp Films' Vampire the Movie, which won the 2007 Rondo Award for Best Independent Feature. I have no idea what a Rondo Award is.
Yeah.
I assume it's given out by Rajon Rondo for his favorite horror movie.
Yeah. Oh, God. All right, let's keep it moving. Our next one.
I was going to say this at the beginning, but like the real thing that differentiates this from the celebrity songs episode is that celebrities don't have talent necessarily, but they do have a lot of resources at their disposal. Not all of these artists have a lot of resources, although this one is actually an exception to that. High production value video that we're about to watch.
They do all have talent. So far tonight,
I would disagree with first Jason, but
bursting from their pores.
It sounds like a Jimmy Buffett song having a stroke mid song is what it sounds.
It's one of those child Gambino Redbone, but you're in the bathroom at the party for a Jimmy Buffett song.
But it's like it's loud enough. It's like the song has been given a Xanax. He wasn't on a Xanax. It's like he somehow put a Xanax inside the song.
Barred out Jason Voorhees.
Jason Voorhees in a K-hole, you know.
Alright, let's talk about a wonderful music video with a very long preamble that we should just start watching.
Yeah, this is the Fat Boys' Are You Ready for Freddy? And you're wondering, who's Freddy? Well,
no one's wondering who Freddy is on this episode.
We've disparaged.
And you're a fucking idiot if you're wondering.
Music videos that have really long, pointless openings. But I love how long this opening is. And I also love how, like, as we're joking about kind of now, how long they take to play out the premise of this video. It's so good. The slow pan up on the Fat Boys. Like all the seconds of silence that are in this is so fucking weird. Just like the pacing of it. Will
state that you must spend one night in his house in order to inherit his estate. Now it is my duty as executor.
Okay,
to
that makes sense.
That you
let's check that out.
His request. Do you mean all I have to do is spend one night here and the place is mine? No problem.
No problem. No, let me ask you a question. Who is Uncle Frederick anyway?
Well, he's from a part of my family we never mentioned.
I won't mention any.
The guy, on the left is the dress. What color is the dress?
Is it gold and white or blue? The layers of this, I know we're taking this too seriously, but the layers that they're all dressed up like Freddy Krueger, but also that like they're pretending to not know that they're at Freddy Krueger's house. On oh wait, the camera's panning up. Oh no, the
Uh-oh.
And then immediately the premise is just abandoned, and
it's so awesome that like Freddy, like at least like this is like probably let's see what year is this? This is like the late 80s, so this is like the worst of the worst of the Nightmare franchise. Like this is where they get really really bad. And it's funny because the unspoken lore of Freddy Krueger is that he's a child molester.
Yeah.
He's a child molester and murderer. Like, that's the unspoken. That was in the original script, but, like, I think Bob from New Line Cinema was like, hey, dial that back a little bit, you know? Mm. Which I think was, which I don't think was a bad idea, which is probably why the remake kind of sucks.
Yeah.
The remake sucks for a variety of reasons, but.
Did Wes Craven direct this one, too?
No, he would never. He wouldn't touch something like this. Oh no.
They really were just pimping out Robert Englund to do fucking anything in that costume in the 80s, dude.
Is that him?
Which he was happy to do it. Yeah. Like he was it's like another guest of this episode that we'll get to in due time. Like
he takes his money's money. Yeah. God.
In the remake, I believe the first one had Jackie Earle Haley, who was brought back in Zack Snyder's Watchmen as Freddy.
I feel like I'm getting, obviously, I'm very hung up on the intro to this video, but my favorite part about it is that it has the exact same, like, writing cadence as, like, post-solo franchise movies, where it's like, my dad comes from a side of this family I've never talked about. His name's Frederick, and I'm not gonna tell you what his last name is. Like, you know, it's like, oh, my name's Han. Hey, Han, do you have a last name? It's like these leading questions that are, like, it's so great. I love it.
The thing I was caught up on from the first minute is how the acting and production values were basically just identical to the start of a porno.
But also, I watched this video and I'm like, we used to be a proper country, because even though it is, like, very clearly low budget, they put so much effort into it, because you can't just stand in front of these kids these days and their green screens and their Apple wallets.
Here's the thing. Why was there not a Megan Hyperpop song? That just money, just, money, you're just leaving money on the table.
She sang,
that is true.
She sang See Us Titanium, and it was on the soundtrack.
Okay, I stand corrected.
Who do you think she's going to collab with for Megan 2? I'm going to say Poppy or fucking Rebecca Black.
Yule.
Mm. Who wrote the ABCDFU?
Obviously, it's going to be Grimes.
Oh god,
it's going to be Gail. It's going to be Gail.
No, it's going to be Grimes writing a song about how she's a robot.
Grimes is already in Cyberpunk. I don't think he can do that like twice.
Up to the fat boys and they're eating food.
Oh hell no! Which movie was this like tied to?
I'm gonna probably 4 or 5.
Yeah.
It's. Let me see. Let's do a quick Google search when this song came out, 1988. So I think this was
the theme for four. Remastered.
Okay. Yes.
The Rennie Harlan one.
That one's good. I like this one.
Yeah, yes. That is the Rennie Harlan one.
Hell yeah.
And that's one of the. It's not like the worst of the sequel. I mean, the worst sequel is Freddy's Dad.
Yes,
that is the
undoubtedly.
I will say though, in general, the real we used to be a proper country about this, and of course, this is obviously something that Demi Adigwebe has made note of. We should go back to having rap songs at the end of movies that describe to you the plot of movies.
Yes.
I don't want to spoil Killers of the Flower Moon for anybody, but let's just say you'll be pretty happy with how that movie ends.
My name is Martin Scorsese, and I'm here to say Indigenous genocide is bad in a major way.
In a major way.
Jesus Christ.
God.
The funniest thing is that is how that movie ends, actually.
Yeah. all right, we got two more songs left in the playlist. Again, Hello Zepp. Let's kick in Hello Zepp right now in the edit. We're talking some Saw icons, the first of which is Shawnee Smith with the song Please Myself.
Amanda.
So I was told, like, Jackie, you need to hear this. And I have not seen a single Saw movie. This is famous about me in the Discord. I just know everything about them because I am in the Discord with all of you.
Yes.
But I have seen her famous cameo that she recorded for this podcast. That she recorded in bed at like a whisper volume. And I was like, I wonder if that's going to be the vibe of her music. It is. That is exactly the vibe of her music. Down to the ASMR whispering. And this is basically like we have Portishead at home, but there are worse things to do musically. This is pretty good.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is just like what I assume anyone who had sex in the 90s that was goth, like I assumed this was what was going on at the time.
And here's the thing, though, Jackie. This song came out in 2007.
Oh, that is true, because once he gets to the chorus, you realize that it's like butt rock via Portishead, right? Like,
yeah. It kind of sounds like a Naruto opening theme, actually.
To me, the riff, once it trans, I like the beginning of it. Once it transitions to this part, it's giving, are you ready for Sunday Night Football?
Yeah.
Yeah, this riff is simply too Ram truck commercial for me to really get down with it. It's like Evanescence Portishead is what they were going for, but the riffs don't really hit as hard as they need to be. Also, Johnny Smith is good at whispering, but that's because she's not like a great singer, you know? Like, it's not like she whispers and then can hit this crazy note. It's fine, she's a great actress. But yeah, I was not surprised that the woman who left us a way too sensual cameo makes music like this called Please Myself.
Yeah, I was rewatching that cameo like a week ago, and I think my favorite part of it is at the very end when she's like, "Thank you, Natalie, for sending in this cameo request. You'll be in my thoughts." And Gavin just immediately goes, "No, you fucking won't."
But again, there's a non-zero chance, though. There's a non-zero chance, though, Grant, that she has thought about doing that cameo.
Was that the Maroon 5 era where we were just getting the most haunting celebrity cameos?
Yes.
I think that was 90s rock.
90s rock, of course, yeah.
Do we all know that Shawnee Smith and Missy Pyle were in
a country band
called Missy Smith and Pyle?
That rocks.
I like the album cover here. It basically just could be a Puddle of Mud record.
Apparently, they started the band because they were stuck in traffic going to Coachella together, and they were like, "I've always wanted to be in a band," and so they decided that they should. They were originally going to call themselves Dirty Bird, but due to that name already being taken, they decided on Smith and Pyle.
That's beautiful.
Back then, they could have called themselves First Jason. That name was still available. Wouldn't be taken for many more years.
It's like the horror version of like the Prince cover band that like Maya Rudolph is in. Princess, I think, is the name of the cover band.
I had no idea that existed until
there's a Prince cover band that Maya Rudolph, of course, Maya Rudolph, who also was in the Rentals, also for a period.
What?
She was in the Rentals.
What the fuck?
I am absolutely obsessed. Wikipedia articles for low-level famous people are my favorite shit in the world. Here's performances. The band performed at a USO show for a Navy SEAL reunion on July 19th, 2008. They described the performing for the troops as, quote, awesome, regardless of the attendees' age. And then the source is the official website for Smith and Pyle.
Hell fucking yeah.
Hell yeah. Maya Rudolph is one of the members of the Rentals. There's a giant list of past members.
Jesus.
Good. Again, solid butt rock stuff, in my opinion. I gotta say it. Solid little butt rock material. You know. Again, just very funny. Seeing the comment, the very sincere horror fans are the best. Horror fans are the best. They're so sincere, and I love them dearly. And we're going to keep it going with the Salt. We got Jigsaw himself, Tobin Bell, doing a cover of Knockin' on Heaven's Door.
I don't know if we'd already discussed this in the chat before this, like, we started this episode. Obviously, I'm tapped into Saw chat, but not actually because I haven't watched any of the movies. However, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever fucking seen. I lost my mind when I saw this.
This is so moving, dude.
If you're listening to this blind and you're like, Jigsaw from the Saw movies did a Bob Dylan cover, that's got to be pretty funny. But buckle up and prepare to have your soul.
This is
nothing funny about this, actually. I mean,
it's beautiful.
There's a little funny about this, mainly the hat that he's wearing, but we'll get to that.
What's the little B video where it's like raw, very emotional?
Yes, exactly.
This video
is that No Black Person Is Ugly, or is that I Love You?
Maybe.
Yeah, it's got to be I Love You.
Yeah. It's Knock on Heaven's Door from Tobin Bell and Mary Spender. This is just a genuinely beautiful cover of the song. Like Tobin Bell has a very like Johnny Cash energy to his voice. And it's kind of beautiful.
This is insane. This is fucking Jigsaw.
This should have been a scene in Saw X. I mean it. It thematically fits.
Him driving around town listening to his own cover of thinking about all the traps he set.
use it anymore.
This is my Tom Waits.
Yeah, and I was gonna say, like,
I don't wanna speak anything into existence because we love Tobin Bell here, but this is giving a David Bowie Black Star a little bit.
Oh my god.
For real. Like the
there's
fucking,
just like a weariness
to
this. It's just beautiful.
The saxophone is genuinely great.
Free time. This is like his outfit because it means that the scene of him with the backwards hat is not that different from how real life Tobin Bell actually dresses. Like he just turned the hat around. And he's like, all right, now I'm John Kramer in disguise.
Hell yeah.
We're just vibing.
One of the studio musicians messed up. They would wake up, you know, hanging above a vat of acid and would hear, you played the G chord when it was meant to be the C. Now, if you want to keep your finger.
You know, it's a shame that Tobin and Shawnee haven't made music together. I think they'd be really good together.
I think if the strike wasn't happening, we maybe would get a song. But fucking SAG, pay your fucking actors, yeah. Studios. We mentioned it before.
No,
pay your fucking actors.
Maddie, you're tapped in. You've been here for all of these. This is the best song the podcast has covered in how long?
genuinely, like maybe since Best New Podcast.
Yeah.
Like this is so good.
Yeah.
No part of me is like, oh, as a bit, it's funny for us to like this song.
Yeah,
it's
this is not
great.
A bit. This is actually fantastic.
Yeah. Again, why have they not gotten Tobin to make a song for the Saw movies? Like, come on. Especially Saw X. Like, that's a perfect movie where you could have, like, a song like this.
Mm-hmm. Imagine getting the call to be a studio musician for Jigsaw.
I know,
God. Imagine that they had no idea. They were just like, oh, you know, yeah. Clients today were doing Knock on Heaven's Door, like, yeah, or right, whatever, and then fucking Jigsaw walked in.
Have y'all seen the video of Tobin Bell going through the Saw haunted house at Halloween Horror Nights?
Oh no, we should watch that.
It's one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, we'll watch that. Because again, it's just a good song. Like, please listen to this after you finish the episode.
He also has a really good Everett Brothers cover on his YouTube channel. He's really good. He needs more subscribers and he needs more views. He's doing like Shakespearean monologues on it right now, and they're fucking phenomenal.
I'm doing the fucking David Lynch cow for your consideration, Laura Dern thing. Yes. Outside of the Academy for Tobin Bell and Saw X this year.
Read a lot about him, and like, he has like a great attitude. He basically like started working in Hollywood as like a background actor, and he's like, other people don't see any value in this, but he's just like, he would take any extra gig or any tiny one-line part he could in any movie, including a bunch of uncredited movies before he got his first role, like just on like big directors' movies, so that he could like learn the craft and stuff. He's just a cool guy. He was in The Firm. He plays the Nordic man in that movie. It's great.
Yeah, he's in the Sopranos. Like, again, he was a working actor.
You should watch. I posted the clip in the chat. Tobin Bell on Seinfeld.
Yes.
Oh yes,
his Letterboxd profile is a beautiful thing because it's all of the Saw movies
it's related because the Tobin Bell Seinfeld bit is he's a record store employee, so relevant to our podcast.
Yes, but let's watch him brave the Saw Halloween Horror Maze.
Hi, I'm Tobin Bell. I'm outside the Saw Maze at Universal Halloween Horror Nights, and I'm looking forward to taking a walk through right now and being terrified. So do you want to play a game? Whoa! Billy, my friend.
Billy, my friend.
Come here. I love you, brother.
I love you, brother. he has such a Joe Biden energy in this video.
Just sitting there watching intently the fucking reverse bear trap scene he reenacted.
He's going through this like a dad goes through a grocery store.
Whoa!
Whoa!
Yeah.
Whoa!
Rest in peace, Jill.
Now listen.
Just taking a photo.
The fucking water cube.
I can't deal with that. I want to let this poor bastard out.
That's unlike Jigsaw, Tobin. All right, he needs to show that he has the will to live.
Oh, terrifying. Can you use that?
Tobin, oh my God, we Tobin Bell, Tobin. God.
He has Tobin's the great. Most like. I'm your teacher, but class is outside today. I'm gonna be chill about yeah. it. Sort of vibe. I love it.
I'll give you $5.
$5? Well, do you know how much those records are worth?
Yeah, I do. $5.
Those records are worth more than $5?
He's gypping us.
You're gypping us!
Well, what do you got here? You know, you got Don Ho live and
if the, do the timelines kind of line up Jerry where this Vance, could actually be John Kramer?
On top of it being a full-time video, civil engineer.
This video is uploaded to YouTube as Tobin Bell parentheses Jigsaw in Seinfeld, part one. Too bad.
I don't like it.
I don't like it.
All right, well, then get the hell out of my store, all right? You bring me something decent, I'll give you some money.
You can kind of hear the Jigsaw voice.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
Kramer, you were at the last
We don't need to watch part two. You won't believe this. They come back to the store with more records, and he offers them slightly more money for the more records, and then they get even more incredulous about it.
We're supposed to be out there looking for the old man.
I guess we're watching.
We will.
$20.
$20? Are you out of your mind?
Take it or leave it.
Take it or leave it. We got Al Jolson here. Al Jolson.
What the hell do I care about Al Jolson? I just soon hear you sing, "Mammy."
Does he have like a? Oh, he has like a ponytail.
Yeah, he's got a rat tail on him.
He looks like John Carpenter right now.
Crap. Yeah.
A piece of crap.
A piece of crap.
I find you extremely.
He's
ugly.
Gonna put them in a saw
you
trap.
Extremely ugly.
Do you?
You admit a foul and unpleasant odor.
Hello, Newman. I want to play a game.
Hello, Newman. I want to play a game. That's Jerry.
What's the Seinfeld where one of them doesn't have eyes and one of them doesn't have ears? And I know so much about
trap.
These movies. I can't stress enough how much I know about the. Also, I should clarify that I did used to read the entire plot summaries of Saw movies on Wikipedia because I was too much of a fraidy cat to actually watch them, but I was
that
like,
rocks.
I wanted to know what happened in them, you know?
Mm-hmm. There we go. Happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween.
Hopefully you didn't get too scared listening to this episode. If you enjoy this Halloween episode, well, we got something else coming up that's, in a similar vein as in 2 or 3 weeks' time, we'll be bringing you The Nightmare Before Christmas. And that's not the movie, but a playlist of Grant's design. But before then, we are keeping it spooky, though, with our next episode as, we're going from, horror movie, the vampire, of course, is one of the great horror movie icons. And we're talking vampires on our next episode as we finally discuss the Twilight New Moon soundtrack. That's going to be a good one. Very excited for that. And then we got Highland New Wave Deathmatch also coming up in 2 weeks' time. But good stuff coming up. And of course, we're coming towards the end of the year. So we'll be getting our end of year coverage towards the middle of December. So be ready for that. But in the meantime, hopefully you all enjoyed this episode. Is there anything anyone wants to plug before we head out? Go watch the Saw movies.
Go watch Saw X.
Subscribe to Tobin Bell's YouTube channel.
Yes. He just left Twitter, X, whatever you want to say, because they took away his verification. You can find him on Instagram and you should follow him. He's phenomenal.
Yes. One of the icon again. Horror movie icon, Tobin Bell. We love him to death.
Icon of this podcast. He's up there in the Hall of Fame with Lights, Camera, Jackson and the Big Bopper. Tobin Bell's up there.
God. And Oh, I just realized we never brought it up this episode. Thank God. The scariest monster of all.
No.
Yeah.
The
scariest monster of all, Jay Biga.
We don't have any time to talk about Jay Biga.
Oh, no. Oh, no. We got to.
The most popular Halloween costume this year is going to be a MySpace scenecore rapper from 15 years ago.
I guess by the time this episode comes out, I will have probably completed gathering the things I need to do to acquire this, but I'm going to be a sexy the beach bum for Halloween this year, and I'm really excited.
Fuck yes. So yeah, subscribe to Tobin Bell's YouTube channel. Support Horror Vibes Coffee.
Amen.
Again.
That's true. Actually, okay, I shouldn't dock myself real quick. Step back.
I think you mentioned I live close
enough to Horror Vibes Coffee that if you listen to this podcast in the Los Angeles area, come hang out with me at Horror Vibes Coffee. It's far enough away from my actual address that I don't mind letting people know that, like, I live in this neighborhood, whatever. And Doughboys, they've, like, more or less docked themselves like 100 times. Mitch has been like, oh yeah,
and they have way more listeners than we do.
Exactly.
Get yourself a Slasher Cola.
Amen.
We'll get a Slasher Cola. We'll go over to Kulak's Woodshed. I'll give you the whole tour of the area.
Oh, we're going to get to Kulak's fucking woodshed on that Nightmare Before Christmas episode.
We haven't even... Listeners,
we haven't invoked him.
You gotta be in the Discord. It's impossible to follow this podcast otherwise, but it's also a fun place to be. And you know what's not a fun place to be? X.com. So...
No.
Come join us in the Discord, $1 X. a month on patreon.com and you hit the podcast.
And as we know from Saw 1, X marks the spot.
It's true.
You know, so.
And Saw X is Saw 2. We all know that.
Saw X of is course. Saw 2.
Oh yeah, I should share my favorite line from the Tobin Bell Wikipedia page that I posted in the chat earlier, which is, in 2006, Saw 3, his character was killed off. However, he later signed up for up to 5 sequels. He explained, Saw doesn't happen in a straight line, you know? So in Hollywood, everything's possible.
Hey, man.
Facts.
In Hollywood, everything is possible. It's true. Maddie learned that.
I did learn that. And I'm going to learn it again because I'm coming back to Los Angeles for like a week and a half.
That's what we should plug. If you're going to be in Los Angeles in early December and want to come kick Marty's ass, come to the drawing room on Sunday, December. Well, one of them is actually going to be my birthday eve. So if you want to celebrate my birthday and kick Marty's ass, come to the drawing room on December 10th.
Yes.
Maddie will be performing Pink Chocolate in its entirety.
No, I'm not. No.
Could you imagine being like, hey, Fabio, I need you to pull something up for me on YouTube. Just trust me on this one.
I would get banned from life.
Exactly.
I would get banned for life.
Never see Jerry Trainer again.
Did you, they started banning, we need to end this podcast, but I want to mention this. So, of course, famously, the drawing room does not allow Disney or Creed songs to be performed. That's been the rule since I've been going to drawing room like over 2 years ago.
Now, Creed is catching a stray bullet there. What's going on?
Amen.
Here's an easy answer. It's Luke Phillips' fault.
It's our good friend of the show, Luke Phillips, helped get Creed get banned from drawing room because him and other patrons of the bar did too many Creed songs in one night and got them banned.
You see the video of the guy in the custom Scott Stapp jersey doing the halftime show acapella that was on Twitter the other day? Beautiful thing.
Yeah, the Halloween costume it's beautiful. But if you go to Fabio's website, fabiosongs.com, you will see that he's banned a couple other artists. He's now banned Nickelback and the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Damn.
And noted that it's a venue request, which here's the thing. This podcast, Red Hot Chili Peppers, you want to ban them? Fine by us. Totally okay.
You under no circumstances have to ban Cheetahs, but
no, even
this,
I,
this
even
user I, is from California, is from Los Angeles, California.
maybe I'm the biggest hater of that band. It's fun to do those songs at karaoke because you just get to do the sex criminal voice.
AJ, you're not allowed to hate that band and like Fish. You just can't. That's so fucking unacceptable.
Gavin is somewhere screaming right now.
Anthony Kiedis 14 into Google. Obviously, the worst thing you could hear at karaoke is a Disney song, so he's right for that.
That's the best rule. I'm very happy with that rule.
It immediately eliminates the theater.
People will still always want to do show tunes, but you just have to remove all the 90s Disney songs because no one wants to hear fucking the Mulan song or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
You have to do like a cool musical like Rocky Horror or something.
Yeah. But Nickelback, though, I got a problem with it. Again, banning Nickelback, I got a problem. Well, Creed, of course, I have a problem with, but that was before my time. It's Creed. I get it. The reputation is starting to finally, their reputation is finally starting to improve. But Nickelback, come on. That's so like 2012 to ban Nickelback. Mm-hmm. Like, come on now. It's bullshit.
All right. So we need to end this episode. I have an idea that I can take us out on. So, okay. I am just going to read titles from Tobin Bell's filmography, and then you can, like, slowly fade me out eventually.
Okay,
he's been in, like, so many movies, and as any horror actor tends to do, a lot of these movies have really great titles that you've never heard before. So I'm going to start reading them. I'm going to mention some of the big ones, but I'll just keep going. Manhattan, Tales of Ordinary Madness, Sophie's Choice, The Verdict, Svengali, Mississippi Burning, False Identity, Loose Cannons, Goodfellas, Ruby, Boiling Point, The Firm, Malice, Serial Killer, Quick and the Dead, Brown's Requiem, The Best of Best Four Without Warning, The Fourth Floor, The Road to El Dorado, Good Neighbor, Power Play, Black Mass 2, City of Mass, Saw, Saw 2, Saw 3, Buried Alive, Decoys 2, Alien Seduction, Haunting Hour, Don't Even Think About It, Boogeyman 2, Saw 4, Boogeyman 3, Saw 5, Saw 6, Saw 3D, Dark House, Finders Keepers, Phantom Halo, Manson Family Vacation, Rainbow Time, Jigsaw, The Sandman, Beelzebub, Ice Cream in the Cupboard, Gates of Darkness, A Father's Legacy,
So never leave me lonely. Tell me you love me only, and that you'll always let it be me. Complete love.